There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 15 that this reminded me of that song. If there is no resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. And it just reminded me as she was singing that we're a blessed people, not simply because we think we are, but simply because He is real. And praise the Lord. It's good to be at one with the Father. Let's take our Bible tonight to Ephesians chapter 2 again. And we enjoyed it so much this morning, we thought we might go back and visit it again. See if it's got some more help for us. Ephesians chapter 2, there's probably a lot more that needs to be to bring us to the verse that we're going to read. But just for our time's sake tonight, let's just read verse 10 and then I'll let you be seated. It says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Father, help us tonight as we open Your Word. Just discover in us that which needs to be looked at. Lord, help us to be honest. Help us to hear. Help us to be that good ground that Your Word can be planted and bring forth good fruit. Lord, I pray that You would just go with us tonight and guide the preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we looked at, obviously, the first three verses of Ephesians 2, and just a bit of a recap. Just what a blessing to have been dead, to have been completely without ability to swim against the current of this course that we're on. What a blessing to have been in such a lost state that I would just do what everyone else does, and that is fulfill the lust of the flesh and of the mind. And what a blessing to know that the Almighty stepped into that and made a way of escape. He quickened us. He had such a vision for lost mankind that it's amazing how good God has been to us. When we follow that down in verse 4, it's one of those passages that just simply should be meditated on. To me, it's a very emotional passage where it just starts in verse 4, "But God." And there's some verses that just radiate with personality. It's like it just touches in the depth of your core. And this is one of those for me. It shows about the vast riches that He has. And there's several key words that jump out of these next few verses. One is the word mercy. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Aren't you glad we have a merciful God? Amen. Looked at all we were and said, that's okay. I can cover that in my blood. Amen. Amen. He looked at all of our inabilities and said, that's okay. I'm able. You're unable, but I'm able. He looked at all of our insecurities, and that didn't stop Him at all. God, who is rich in mercy for His great love. Boy, is that an understatement. Sometimes there's words in the Bible that are hard to define and hard to put a convenient little saying with, and this passage has several of them. The word mercy is one of those. The word love is definitely one of those, and I like what Paul says. He says it was just great for His great love wherewith He loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's great love. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you go down to verse 5, it talks about grace. It says, "By grace you are saved." There's another word, hard to put a cliche or a definition or a slogan that summarizes all that grace is. Mercy, love, grace. And you drop down to verse 7, you see the word kindness. It says the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness. You know, my Father, my Heavenly Father, overwhelms me. There's just so much that He has. When He takes us from dead in trespasses and sins, and by the time He's done, we're not just alive, but we are living the dream. That's an abundancy of life. Amen. It's overwhelming, the goodness, the kindness, the grace, the mercy, the love. It's actually miraculous. And you know what I'm going to conclude on that is I'm in pretty good hands. When God took me from lost and He took me to saved, I'm in pretty good hands. And I want to look at that tonight because that's really what verse 10 is all about. Verse 9 just reminds us, we didn't save ourselves. It says, "For not of works, lest any man should work should boast." So it's not of us. We know it's not of us that saved us, and we know it's not of us that's going to continue this entire life of salvation. And so I want to look at that, what that looks like to be his workmanship, what that all means. The word workmanship indicates we need some work. Amen? So I'm saved. God, you know, I went from death into life, and here I is. I'm ready to go, and God needs some major work done on this guy. Amen? You probably weren't like that, right? You probably arrived complete. How many of you moms would understand that just because you've had the baby doesn't mean you're done being a mom? It's like, okay, now the work begins. It went from self-contained to out of control, but there's a lot of work going to be taking place, maybe 20, 30 years worth of work, amen? Just because we're saved and ready to go eternally doesn't mean we are done. Workmanship indicates we have a master worker. Workmanship indicates his fingerprints are going to be all over us. Workmanship indicates that he is going to take us from one form, and by the time he's done, we'll be a different form. And I'm glad God's still working on me. In verse 10, it says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And as we look at this, and there's some parts of this that we're going to go through a little quicker than others, but we're going to take that verse and just kind of lay it out and think on it. I don't think the Bible could be more clear than it is right there. We are his workmanship, and let me just say it this way, he's not our workmanship. The tendency is when I get saved to recognize that I am just beginning. I'm an infant. I'm a newborn babe. Not the other way around, like, oh, now I own God, but rather now God owns me. I'm beginning this, and there's no sense spinning our wheels to try and restructure this basic Bible doctrine that we're in good hands. God's doing some work on us. So let's break this down. First of all, let's look at the origination, where we all started from. It says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship." That seems pretty simple. We are his. You ready to do some Bible? Can you do that? Can you multitask? Hold your hand there and move other places. Can you do that? All right, we're going to do a bunch of that tonight. Philippians chapter 1. We are his. We're his. You see, when we're bought with a price, we're not ours. We're not our cultures. We're not our own. We're not even our countries. We're not our neighborhoods. We're his. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." It is not we who work on us. It is he who works on us. And we're in good hands. We are his workmanship. You see, oftentimes his work is not something we would seek. I think it was mentioned earlier tonight. There's trials and struggles in life that we don't often look at and say, hey, this is a great opportunity to grow in the Lord. Man, I'm excited about this trial of my faith coming up. We usually look at it quite the opposite, amen? Like, Lord, are you sure? You sure you know what you're doing? Amen? But we're in good hands. We are his workmanship. The originator of all the work that happens comes from his hands. We are his workmanship. Amen. Amen. Do not blame Satan for things that honestly the Lord may be doing in our lives. There's some times that we look at things and we complain oft, but perhaps it's the Lord that's bringing us through some growth channels because we are his workmanship. Look, if you would, over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, very familiar verses, and I know these are basic and common to understanding where we stand with our Lord. It says in verse 19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God?" And say this with me, "And ye are not your own." We're not our own. were bought with a price, verse 20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Obviously, that body and that spirit are areas that we try and apparently take over some ownership. And no, we're His workmanship. The Lord has a good ability to work. He's the one who began a good work, and He's the one who can perform a good work. If we think about our Creator and we go back into Genesis chapter 1 and we look at 6 days of creation, we would agree with God, not only is each day good, but at the end of it we would say, it's very good. And everything you and I have seen in the course of our life, we would look upon and say, you know what, that's kind of an understatement. This is extremely good. This is excellent. No human has ever been able to fabricate what God was able to create. He's good. So when I am His workmanship, I'm in good hands. You see, modern Christianity is, honestly, it's very blasphemous. It'll make comments in song or in slogan that says something along the lines of God belongs to me. Like I received Him, He belongs to me. And it's quite the opposite. I belong to Him. I'm His. And not the other way around. And it may just seem like semantics, but honestly, the truth is I'm not working on God. God's working on me. I'm not the one in the driver's seat telling Him what to do at the prayer altar. I'm perhaps in the mercy seat needing His mercy because He knows what I need to be created. I'm His workmanship. Look over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. I believe it's very important for a child of God to get this, to truly understand that salvation is a beginning of a long journey, a wonderful journey. It's not the end. It's not the last chapter. It's the beginning moment of this whole thing called the Christian walk. Deuteronomy 32, look what it says in verse 6, if you would. It says, "Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? Hath He not made thee and established thee?" Obviously, Israel forgot that. They missed that. It's unwise to miss that. To forget that, you know what, I'm in good hands. We are His workmanship. It's very unwise to begin to think that God belongs to me when in reality I belong to Him. Look over to Psalm 100, and I know I'm looking at a lot of these, just simply touching them to illustrate that this isn't some naive comment that Paul's making in Ephesians 2. This is well documented all throughout Scripture, this understanding that He owns everything, and certainly He owns His children. Psalm 100 and verse 3, the Bible says this, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God? It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." And then go over to Revelation, the last book in your Bible, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, in the worthiness of our Lord, it's mentioned about where we stand. It says in verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." What's that all mean? It simply means I'm His workmanship. He is not here for my pleasure. I am here for His pleasure. I didn't get saved so that I can now direct His traffic. I didn't become a child of God so I can now tell Him what I want. Hey, Lord, now that I'm saved, what do you think about just taking care of this and fixing this and making sure my tires never get flat? And Lord, it'd be really good if you just, you know, kind of fill the rest of this wish list. And Lord, the Bible says you know all things. So you know everything I want. Just take care of all of it. Amen? It's quite the opposite. God said, hey, son, I wrote a book. Why don't you just read it and start learning to be like me? Amen. He gave me an understanding that He's not here for my pleasure. I'm here for His good pleasure. We didn't create Him. Christianity, modern Christianity, has created a false god. I understand that, but in the real truth of salvation, we did not create him. As the song was just sung, he was here before and he'll be here after. He is always, and we didn't create him. We are his. Once we're saved, we've been taken from death unto life, and we realize that whole process was bathed in mercy and kindness and great love and amazing grace. Then we have to realize that those aren't just songs I sing. Those aren't little things I put on my bumper. Those aren't little sayings that I just say, well, I'm one of those. No, that whole process is because I am now his. I am no longer my own. I believe that at some level we have to come to grips with the understanding that I'm more the clay than the potter. I'm the product, not the worker. Amen. I'm the recipient, not the instructor. Does that make sense? And there's a maturity level that as a brand new child, you don't see that. I've got a little granddaughter and a little grandson that on our way out of town, my wife and I said, hey, let's sneak by and enjoy a moment, just say goodbye to them for a little while. We snuck by, and you know, those one guy's 1 year old and one of the little girl's like 2 weeks old. You know what? They think they own everyone. like literally, everything's there for their good pleasure. And that's called immaturity, right? And new Christians, we can be that way too, and that's okay. But the point is, we're supposed to actually grow past that, to realize I'm here by His design, and I am His. And there becomes, from that origination of understanding, that's how it started, we get to a bit of a foundation. It says back in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship. And then notice this, we're created in Christ Jesus. This is really interesting. The phrase is not that He is created in us. I'm created in Him. Now that may be just simply a sensitive moment to try and think through, okay, what's that look like? Well, I know what that looks like for me, and from a grammatical text, that indicates that there's a foundation already laid, which is Jesus Christ. I am placed on that foundation. I'm created in Him. Take that thought for, again, we'll do a few verses and then we'll come back here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I am created in Christ Jesus. That's a solid foundation.
Amen.
I'm so glad, and this may not resonate with you, but I wasn't raised this way. How many of you were raised or were not raised like this? Okay, so you understand. I wasn't raised this way. And when I got saved and I first was growing, I had no idea. I was dumb as a box of rocks when it came to things. And I remember when God literally was calling me to marry that lady that is my wife today. Over 30 years ago, He was leading me to marry her. And I remember saying, no way, no, no. You say, you didn't like her? No, I loved her. But everything I knew says marriage isn't going to work out. That's all my background. That's all I knew. And I remember kneeling before the Lord one day, begging God, and God said, I wrote you a book on marriage. Why don't you read it? And I thought, how novel. It's an instruction book. 31 years later, you have to ask her if this is just preaching or reality, but God's helped me know how to be a husband. When my first son was being born, the first of five, I was like, Lord, I have no idea. Can you just hold it for another 9 months? I got some more study to do. My wife said, no. Today is the day of birth. I said, okay. And we started a journey. I have no idea how to be a dad or a husband or a pastor. I have no idea, but I have a book that tells you how to be that. And I'm glad my foundation isn't me. It's in Jesus Christ. I'm created in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, I believe you're there, in verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a different walk when I'm in Christ Jesus. Look over to 2 Corinthians 5. One of my favorite reminders of this whole structure is 2 Corinthians 5, the latter half, but we'll just zoom in on one verse tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, hey, that's me. That's what happened when I was born again, when I was quickened, when I was made alive, when His great love and His kindness and His exceeding amazing grace, when His ability to reach me when I could not do anything about, when that happened, that's what that was. I became in Christ. And look at this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm His new creature, not my new creature. I'm glad I'm His, but I'm also glad I have a good foundation. I'm in Him. I don't have to recreate the wheel. You know, one of the greatest things I've learned personally, and this is perhaps more reminisceful than just pure doctrinal instruction, but I'm just so thankful that my God did not ask me to figure it out. He literally, I guess He lets us do some dumb thinking if we need to. But when we get to the end of ourselves, He said, I've got it. I've got it. You're my workmanship and you're in Christ Jesus. It's all written down. You can do this. Amen. I'm glad there's a good foundation. We aren't just given a job to do. Hey, be perfect for I'm perfect. See you later. Hope it works out. No, He actually tells us how. Right. How to forgive. How to be tender. How to allow the working of God to be effectual in our life. And it says here, I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Man, praise the Lord. I didn't understand that, certainly, but I certainly value that. Amen. That Jesus Christ is allowing us to be created in Him. Amen. It's exciting. One thing we need to remember, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and just let your eyes skim over this topic again. It says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. One thing just to remember is at some stage, that's a transition God begins to do. Let me explain. Not salvation. Salvation is instant. It's the birth. But the growing of workmanship is a bit of a transition to take me from what I was in to who I now am in. For instance, God has to sometimes work out some of our culture. God has to undo some of our parents' influence on us at times. At times, God has to take out an old religion or an old background. Sometimes it's just habits, the situations, the political persuasions. That is not my foundation. Amen. My foundation is very clear. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's the foundation. It's a common foundation. It's a solid foundation. But let me just say this. There are a lot of good things in life, but that is not where our foundation lies. Our foundation is not in our family or our church even. And please, be careful. I'm trying to be careful with how I say this. But it's clear to understand that the roots that we have these roots growing down, that the foundation is reaching down and it's in Jesus Christ. We're created in Christ Jesus. I'm an American. I serve my country. You are, many of you have had history that if we put it all together, we would see blood, we would see various levels of sacrifice that you and your families have known. And can I just say this, as much as we are American and love America, we have in our current life a situation where some of that is even being changed before our eyes and knowing, can't do a lot about it, but I do know this, that's not my foundation. That's not where it's all about. It's not, I'm not this way because it's American. I don't go to church because it's the American thing to do. I don't read a King James Bible because it's the cultural thing to do. This foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. We are His workmanship and we're created in Christ Jesus. It's a good foundation. It's a good foundation. It hasn't moved. I'm so thankful Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. The doctrinal solidification that I had on day one hasn't moved at all. They haven't somehow adjusted when my children had questions. It's still the same answers. Does that make sense? I'm glad that foundation is rock solid. In fact, you could spell it with a capital R. That's how rock solid it is, because his name is Rock. Amen. So you look at these roots and you just, it reminds us that understanding we have an origination that's none other than his hands. We are his workmanship. We have a good foundation because we're created in Christ Jesus. Let's look at our motivation here. Verse 10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Okay, so that's what we're supposed to be doing. We understand what good means. We understand what works are. When we put those together, that indicates that God has a purpose for us that is not the it's not going to be shallow or short of good, beneficial, helpful, healing works or life efforts. This is what God's called all of us to be. Say, well, I'm supposed to be like a gas station attendant. No, actually, you may do that to pay the bills, but you're supposed to be created unto good works. The motivation is very clear. Let's look at some Bible on this. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. I'm glad God is using me as a pastor, but if I could be honest with you, that's not my motivation. If I would have, I was in a car accident years ago where I spent a week or so up in Mayo Clinic. They're trying to figure out, does he have a brain or not? No brain damage, amen, because there's no brain to start with, so that's good. Next. that was a blessing. But, had that, those incidences, and you've been through things like that, where if it would have made it to where you couldn't speak, you couldn't be fulfilling a particular function, you know what, I'm glad to know that's not my purpose. That's not the motivation of my purpose. It's not just simply because I'm tasked with a particular job. I'm created in Christ Jesus unto good works, whether I'm sitting there or standing up here. That doesn't really change a lot. It changes perhaps some of the strategic portions of what I have to do, but ultimately, my goal is unto the Lord's service. Psalm 138, look at this in verse 8. The Bible says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Just think about that. His mercy endureth forever, but he's going to perfect the things that are lacking. He's going to perfect. Sometimes God has to take us through some hard growing spurts to get from my works unto good works. Sometimes he has to mature us in ways we don't always appreciate. Amen. You've gotten the phone calls, haven't you? I have a dear pastor friend. I was telling the pastor a little while ago that dear pastor friend of mine, earlier this year, he was just having a good day in his study and his phone rang and had a very tragic news of his own family that he received on the phone call. And you know what? Sometimes God puts us through valleys that we don't understand. And next thing you know, we're looking at perhaps a graveside or dealing with things that we would never have desired. And we have to stop and think through, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, we know this. We are his workmanship. We're his. He started this. He's the Alpha. He'll be the Omega. He's the first. He'll be the last. He's the beginning. He'll be the end. We're his. And we have to understand that ultimately it's a foundation that's very solid. It's not moving with the trials of life. It's in Christ Jesus. It's a very solid place to be founded. And what God's doing is creating a new motivation inside of us, and that is unto good works. Amen. I'm in my 50s. That makes me young compared to some of you. I'm beginning to realize this life goes pretty quick. And it'll be just one day or two down the road, we'll lay our head down on our pillow for our last time. What will we have accomplished during that time? What good will we have done? Will we have helped someone find the Lord? Will we have lived a life where someone can be truly born again by our example that we've lived in front of them? These are good works. Bible says, and I'll just reference some passages. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father. That's our purpose. The Bible says in Isaiah, I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. That's our purpose. I get the privilege to serve my God. It's a motivator. It ought to stir us to be able to say, I'm created to serve my Savior. He's created me. It says in verse 10, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Praise the Lord. Look over to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians 2 and verse 13, Paul says it this way. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one doing this. He's working it. He's stirring it. He's moving us. And I'm so thankful. If you were to take my life, and maybe all of you, I don't know your personal story, but if you were to take my life and remove that from God's, remove the Lord from my life, I'd be just a mess. You know that? I don't know if I'd have a job or be dead or be in jail. I have no idea, but I know I'd be a mess. My life would mean nothing. There'd be no real value in it. You? If you took the Lord out of your life, would you have a life? It'd be empty. I'm so glad the Lord not only saved us, quickened us to where He took us from dead and made us alive, and His great love, His exceeding mercy and kindness and His grace toward us was shown that we didn't have any ability in this. And now we just simply realize we're in good hands. We're in really good hands. He's the origination. He started it. He's the foundation. He's the one we're created in. And He is the motivation. We're created unto good works. I would suggest that if anything else God stirs in our life is going to happen, or anything beyond that's going to happen, it will all tie into that verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, of realizing this is His life now. Amen. I'm not my own anymore. Some of the tension that sometimes saved people feel is when they think they're still their own. Like they get saved, and then they're like a two-year-old. Some of you sitting beside your three, four, five-year-olds, and they forget that, yeah, you may be a human, but you're still a little human. And so you will sit here and wait your turn and not talk and not run, and amen. And there's that tension, like, man, I got things to do. I don't want to go to church. I gotta go talk to someone, right? Sometimes Christians feel that way. I'm saved, and yet they forget. No, you are saved, but you're His. You're His, and there's a different motivation. And until a saint comes to the point of saying, Lord, I just want to please You. What might I do to serve You? What might I do to make Your day better? Lord, how can I put a smile on Your face? Until that bridge is crossed, there can be a lot of tension in this. Which brings us to our last issue we're going to look at tonight, and that is the saint's direction. It says in verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So before we were ever even born again, God had a plan of how to walk. And He wrote it out. He described it. It's not new. It's not like something we try and figure out every day. All we have to do is obey. All we have to do is be a disciple, which means to follow. Amen? That's pretty simple. And literally, when we think, well, how should I walk? What direction should I walk in? It's real simple. Follow the Lord. Amen. Parents, you don't have, you understand this when your children come along and they say, well, how do I do it? Do it just like mom and dad. I mean, just follow. We've already thought it through. We've already perfected it. All you have to do is follow. And the point I'm wanting you to take from this is there's a direction in this thing that God has for us called the Christian life, and it's already worked out. God knows what's best for each one of us. There'll be some valleys, there'll be some hardship, there'll be some trials that none of us anticipated, but we're in good hands. The direction that God has is really good. How many of you have done land nav at night? Oh, I'm... Army term, land navigation. You probably do air navigation more Okay. One land navigation where you have an azimuth and you got to set your coordinates and try and figure out how to get from point A to point B and you can't see. You know, God does that. He says, here's where I want you to go, and you won't see all the details. You won't know all the trials along the way. But that new direction that you walk, guess what? God knows what He wants for you to do. God knows what the purpose of it is. Look over, if you would, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'm glad we're in good hands. Amen. I really am. John 3 and verse 21. The Bible says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Sometimes when the direction's right, when we're going the right direction, there's such a clarity inside of the child of God. Like, Lord, if this isn't right, just deal with it. Manifest it. Amen? Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. There's times where that's the opposite, where it's like, Lord, I'm not interested in coming to the light. Because the direction's wrong. I don't want the light to come on and find me somewhere wrong because I'm doing something a bit inappropriate. And the bottom line is, when the deeds are right, when they're in truth, Lord, shed your light on it. Make it manifest, because that is the heart's desire, to walk the right direction. Let me just say this as a bit of a nugget that sometimes we can take away. If you find yourself resistive to the preaching of the Word of God at any level, where it's like a little touchy, a little testy, that may be a good sign that you're not walking in the right direction. Maybe a good sign that, who's the preacher? Is he preaching to me? Did my wife tell him? Did my parents talk to him again? Maybe just a good little indicator that light is bothering you. That's a good indicator that something's wrong with the direction. The direction. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're in good hands. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Amen. See, where's God going to lead me? I have no idea, but I know this. You can trust Him. He's not shocked by the current state of things. We can trust Him. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says this, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Said, I don't know what God's doing. Well, I don't know what's going on outside, but I know what God's doing. God's perfecting the saint. He's given me a tremendous origination. I know where I came from. I'm His workmanship. I'm not mine. I'm not the world's. I'm His workmanship. There's a fantastic foundation. I'm in Christ Jesus. It's rock solid. It's not moving. It's not changing. It's the exact same that the Apostle Paul had when he was talking about this. That's the exact same foundation I can have. It's a very solid foundation. I have a different motivation. It's unto good works. It's not unto a good job. It's not unto good health. It's not unto good relationships. None of that's wrong, but it's unto good works. The Lord's will may be that I live a life that is like many of our forefathers that died for the faith. It may be that His purpose and His motivation looks different than I would have thought it would have looked. But it's still a good motivation. It's unto His good works. And that direction that He has me go on, I need to be okay with Him taking the night time and turning the light of the Word of God on it and saying, hey, let's check where you're at. Let's see how you're doing. Amen? Amen? I need to be okay with Him just saying, I'm still working on you, and you need some help today. You're not quite ready where you're supposed to be. Let's shed some light on that. I need to be okay with the Holy Spirit identifying problems in my life. I would say one of the most needful things in any Christian's life is to know I'm in good hands. And I can trust Him. A hard Christian that somehow isolates himself from God, God's man, God's house, God's word, and just lives kind of a universal moment in their own Christianity, and they hide themselves in this culture of don't talk to me, I know what you're going to ask. You're going to make me surrender. You're going to make me submit. You know, all these things that they're scared of. I'd say it's a pretty miserable life. We have a great God. He took us from death to life. And that process was baptized in words like love, words like mercy, words like kindness and grace. And when we come out of that, those words haven't changed. The greatness of my God hasn't changed. The goodness hasn't disappeared now that I'm saved a day or two and having a trial or two. The value of my salvation hasn't tainted just because now I'm His workmanship and I'm doing all these things that don't seem to have an effectual wonder moment to Him. I'm still in good hands. And all the journey from the beginning till the very last breath, it's good. It's good. I want to read you a prayer in Psalm 51 where I think it's one of the most spiritual prayers that I've read in the Bible. Psalm 51. You know, David he's broken over his personal condition. Here's a saint that lost his way, right? He had marred the image that God wanted him to portray, and that's the image of God. And he makes this prayer in Psalm 51 and verse 10. It's just so simple. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Man, what a great spirit. What a great prayer. Lord, just go back to the day I got saved. Can I say it that way? Clean it all the way like it was that moment when you did everything that I said, this is your love, this is your kindness, this is your mercy, this is your grace. Lord, take my heart all the way back to that and let me just love you, even though you're working on me. Even though you're putting trials in my life that are challenging my thinking. Even though some family issues or some children issues or some political issues or some financial issues or some health issues are now complicating. Lord, help me go all the way back and realize I'm in good hands. I'm in your hands. So let me ask you a question. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Some people get saved so they can go to heaven. I would suggest that the real key of salvation isn't where you end up eternally. It's who you fall in love with the whole way. Amen. Amen. My wife and I, 31 years of marriage, if we had gotten married with the idea of, hey, when we hit 31 years, we'll get up and say something about it. And like that'll be our next moment of amaze. Wow, look at, we did it. If we would have lost 31 years of fellowship, of growth together, of love, trials, tears, laughter. Now it's more laughter and tears because we have a short memory. If we would have lost 31 years, I would have said that would be a miserable marriage. It's not. You don't get saved to go to heaven. You get saved because you have a Savior. Right. It says, I'll quicken you. If you'll give me you in repentance and faith, I'll make you alive. I'll take you from death unto life. I'll give you something worth shouting about. I'll give you a life that can transform your home and your children and your culture and your nation. If it gets spread enough, it'll change the world. I'll give it to you. And you and I say, yes, praise the Lord. Not just to get to heaven at the end, but for the whole journey. And during that journey, I'm His workmanship. And in order to bring me through that process, I have to remember, my origination, it's Him. I'm His. My foundation, I'm created in Him, in Christ Jesus. I have to remember that I have a motivation. It's not me, it's Him. Lord, what is your good pleasure? What are your works that you'd have me to do? What's your purpose in my life? And then it's also His direction. He has the right to click the light on that anytime He wants and just see, where are you at, son? You're a little off. Let's get you back on. Lord, give me a tender heart through all of that so that I can be touched by you anytime you need to. I think if our heart is tender, God can work on us. When our heart gets hard, then He has to work on our backside. That's a whole lot rougher learning experience. Amen? I can trust my Father, and you're in good hands tonight. Would you stand with me? Just as I'm going to turn over to the pastor here in just a second.